We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE. I'm Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and Monday through Friday, I have the privilege of bringing the Refresh radio broadcast to you via your car or your work phone or your work radio or your home radio. However you may be listening, you might be listening across the globe via the internet, and however you are listening, we are very thankful that you have made us part of your day. I want to take this moment to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any block work or concrete work, foundational work, give them a call, 536-5804. That's area code 321. They have been doing excellent work here in Brevard County for several decades now, and we want to encourage you to allow them to be a blessing to you. Want to take this opportunity to invite you again out to our Thanksgiving Sunday celebration. I'm going to be preaching the word. We're going to be having a tremendous Thanksgiving dinner afterwards, but this is also an invitation to you. If you know of a family that could use a Thanksgiving basket, we're doing it a little different this year. We're still going to provide as many baskets as we can, but we're asking you to come to the church, and we will be awarding those Thanksgiving baskets out at the conclusion of the service. Now, I need to tell you what that involves, because you might think it's a turkey sandwich from one of the sandwich shops. It's not. We bless you with a gift card for an entire turkey. They have limits on how many of them that you can buy, and so we give you the gift card because we don't want to be going to 57 different grocery stores trying to buy the requisite number of allowed turkeys. But we also have pumpkin, the ingredients for pumpkin pie: eggs, potatoes, canned vegetables, milk, eggs. It is an entire Thanksgiving dinner that we provide, because we want to be a blessing to the people in this community. So if you know someone who could use that, Sunday morning, 10:30 at Merritt Assembly of God, come. I promise you, my preaching is not boring. I try not to put anybody to sleep. If they happen to fall asleep, I try and wake them up. But we want to be a blessing to our community. And so if that would be something that could be a gift to someone who really needs it, come and be a part of that service this coming Sunday morning. So we do have our normal Wednesday evening services tomorrow night. The following Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we do not have our normal Wednesday night service. We've got our kids ministry at 6, their program at 6:30, food at 6, their ministry program at 6:30, and then the adult ministry starts at 7 and runs to 7:45, where we're studying about the blessings and the benefits that God has for us in Psalm 91. So come be a part of that. Let's get to the word today. We're talking about living a resolved life, or a resolute life. And so today I want to take you to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. For the next couple of days, we are going to be talking about, first of all, the negative things that we're not going to do, resolved not to do negatively. And then we are going to flip that around, and we're going to talk about the positive replacements for those. And so, if that helps to prepare you for where we're going, Psalm 17. This is a prayer of David. Verse number 1 says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you. For those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver me from the wicked with your sword, with your right hand, from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Those last verses there in verse number 15, that is quite a declaration. I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Those are two very noble goals, and we need to be very intentional about making those goals that we see achieved in our life. So I like the verse that says, I shall behold you in, well, the words just left me. So let's just move on. Let's just move on to back to the first part of chapter 17. Verse number 3, you have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So today I want to talk to you about being resolved not to use your mouth as an instrument to sin. That's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. In fact, if you turn over to James chapter 3, let me remind you of what that has to say as my pages stick together. James chapter 3 says this, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and of creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So a lot of times it's easy to discuss things that involve other people. But today we're going to be talking about things that we have to resolve that involve us. That, in fact, James says we cannot even accomplish this goal on our own. We need God's help. Only God can accomplish the taming of the tongue. today's resolution point that I want to share with you is I am resolved that my mouth will not sin by bad-mouthing authority, cursing, lying, gossip, or complaining. Okay? Not talking negatively about authority, not cursing, not lying, not gossip, and not complaining. Those are five negative things that our tongue can be used for, and they come naturally to our fallen nature. I always try to remind people that even though I strive to say everything as correctly as I can, that my mouth is not a perfect mouth. As much as I try to communicate clearly, sometimes I may not communicate as professionally as what I would care for. As you can tell, sometimes words are being formulated in my brain and my tongue is having to wait for the words to come out. And even then, it might not be the exact word that I'm intending for it to come out. So the Bible says that wherever there's a lot of words, sin is not far away. And so you and I, we need to recognize that our mouth can be used as an instrument of sin, or it can be used as an instrument of blessing. We need God's help. So let's talk about these five negatives today, because you have to be intentional. The only way that you can transform your mouth is by allowing God to change your heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it is not your mouth that gets you in trouble. Your mouth is simply a manifestation of the condition of your heart. So if you are bad-mouthing authority, if you are talking negatively about authority, the Bible calls it blaspheming authority, which means to be speaking evil of, that is indicative not of the horrendous authority over your life, but of the despicable condition of our hearts. Whenever we do not treasure the authority over us and we use our mouth to blaspheme or speak evil, I want you to know, if you look in the book of Jude, that those are things that are indicative of people who are under God's wrath, not people who are under God's blessing. It's a demonic quality. It's not a godly quality. I have the utmost admiration and thanksgiving in my heart for those in authority over me, whether that is my presbyter, whether that is my district superintendent. It doesn't mean that I necessarily always agree with the actions of the authority, but I always treat them with respect. And my default mechanism tends to be that they have greater insight than what I do. Now, I want you to know that that is my disposition towards God-ordained authority. If there's somebody that passes a law, like we've had happen a number of times here in America, where the law that they have passed, the law of man, is contrary to the law of God, I can still honor the authority by declaring to them, I honor you, I appreciate you, but the law that you have set in place is contradictory to the word of God. And the way I'm going to honor you is I'm going to declare to you what the word of God says. I'm not going to speak negatively about you. I am going to share the truth with you. So that's bad-mouthing authority. If you have an authority problem, it's going to come out of your mouth. And that means that is a seed that you have sown. And so if your goal is to get that authority replaced by you being in authority, what makes you think that you are not going to reap the harvest of disgruntled people underneath you, bad-mouthing your authority and doing everything they can to undermine you. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, there's always a sowing and a reaping process. And so if you found that you have sown some bad seed with your mouth, then I encourage you to pray for crop failure. It's not an original thought. I heard that several years ago. Pray for crop failure. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Say, God, you know what? I sowed some seeds that I really don't care to sow. I repent. I ask you to empower me to do better the next time. And Lord, would you not saturate that crop? Would you let it experience famine, and would you let it die in the field? And in, you know, farming portions of this country, if the crop is insufficient to warrant the expenses of harvest, they will just go out there with their plows and they will plow it under and start. They'll just minimize their losses. Let's go on to the next point. The next one is cursing. Cursing. James talks about that out of the same mouth should not flow blessing and cursing. It should be one or the other. God wants to be a God who blesses you. Curses come from a life of disobedience. And the Bible describes that we are to be people who set a distinction between the holy and the profane. I just saw, this was probably a week ago. I just saw a week ago that there is a new study that came out that said that women curse, they use profanity more than men do. And as far as the F word, they use it 10 times as much as men do. Ladies, your mouth was meant for something better than cursing. I have to admit that when my kids were in high school, and this would have probably been when my son was in high school, a friend of mine and I, we're professional peers. We were best friends, but or really good friends. I don't know if I'm his best friend, but he's one of my best friends, and he's one of my best friends in the ministry. And we would see each other at the school because we would be taking things to our kids there. We called ourselves like Mr. Moms and stuff like that. And one time I was having to take something to one of my kids, and I recognized this person because of a position that they had there in the school. They were one of the cheerleaders, and there they were in the hallway. And I mean, I was just shocked because of the language that was coming out of this young lady's mouth. Because up until that point in time, it wasn't, listen, I've heard all sorts of language. That wasn't the thing that shocked me. It was the fact that when I was going to school, if a teacher heard you saying something like that in the hall, you would get suspended for that. And now it was commonplace. And when I was growing up, it was more boys than ladies that were talking like that. And now it's flipped on its head. God doesn't want you and I pronouncing curses or profanity out of our mouth, that which is common. And so with that being said, let me just call the people of God to a higher standard with our mouth, just because it is being spoken of in songs and on the news and in movies and by your friends at school or at work, doesn't mean it's supposed to come out of our mouths. Our mouths are owned by a different individual. They're supposed to be owned by God. And so let us resolve not to use our mouth for cursing. Let's move on to the third one, and that's lying. Lying. Lying is the devil's native language. He is the father of lies. Lying is inconducive to the Spirit of God. Lying is it's not supposed to be compatible with a holy God dwelling inside of us and redeeming us and making us a holy people. Lying, and in fact, another article that I saw said that there is no such thing as a little white lie. That if you tell a lie, that it snowballs, it compounds, and pretty soon you have not only told a little lie, but it also has a physiological effect. It begins to transform our brain. You and I, we are not supposed to. Lying is a form of manipulation, and God is not a manipulator. God tells us the truth, and he lets us weigh out the costs and the benefits, the consequences, whatever it might be. He tells us the truth. The devil is a liar. He's always been a liar. He's always going to be a liar. And if someone is a liar, why would you believe anything that they say? Even if they say something that sounds true, it might be factually true, but it's said with the wrong motives. I think of the demon-possessed girl that was following around Paul and Silas in Philippi, where she was saying the right words. These men are servants of the Most High God, telling us how we should live. What she said was true, but her lifestyle undermined the declaration. She was having a negative effect on their efficiency, and Paul just got fed up with it, and he turned around and cast the devil. He said, we're not going to have the spirit of deception. It says that in the last days, people will follow deceiving spirits, and in another place, it says that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. We're not supposed to be lying. Lying is telling people what they want to hear instead of what the truth is. When I go to the doctor, I don't want him telling me what I want to hear. I want him telling me what I need to hear. And so lying should not be something that we do. Gossip. Gossip is another one. I've got two more here. Now, it says that love covers over a multitude of sins. What gossip does is uncover. Now, I forget where I was. Maybe I was just reading an article in my office, and all of a sudden this thought came to me, and that is what gossip does is it's like verbal pornography. It uncovers people's nakedness for people who don't have a right to see that. And so you and I, we're not supposed to be out there propagating gossip. A lot of people will do this in church circles. I mean, let's be real here, where they will present it under the guise of a prayer request. Oh, let's pray for so-and-so because, boy, they're just really going through it right now. Their kids did this and this and this and that and all this other thing. And folks, we've got to be aware of all of the schemes of the enemy. If you know something that is going on, you are supposed to go to them privately. You're supposed to try and work that issue out with them privately. Then Matthew 18 says you go to them with two or three others who don't know the situation. They are going there as neutral parties. Don't poison the well to where they're already understanding of your point of view before you get there. Look, when there's an issue between people, it's not whether I'm right and you're wrong. It's where do we line up with the Word of God? And then if they don't line up, then you go and you say, okay, let's take it before the church and let's see where that is there. Now, if you try and do that, people end up suing churches because of things like that. But we're not called. I mean, I'm not here to discuss all of your problems and all of your shortcomings. I'm here to point you to Jesus, who can forgive all of those things. Let's look at the last one. I am resolved that my mouth will not sin by bad-mouthing authority, cursing, lying, gossip, or complaining. Do you realize that it is impossible to complain and praise God at the same time? Complaining, as I've shared on this broadcast before, it's one of those milestone moments in my personal walk with God that when I saw that passage in the scripture, it made me realize that I was not complaining about my circumstances as much as God's leadership in those circumstances. And it changed me. The scripture says on two occasions, I loathe my life, therefore I gave free rein to my complaint and spoke out in the bitterness of my soul. Complaining says, God, I could do a better job of leading my life than what you are. You're doing a horrible job of leading me. That's what complaining does. And here's the thing. A lot of times we are complaining on the very threshold of God transforming our hard circumstances into supernatural miracles. The children of Israel were constantly murmuring and complaining. Tell me, if you didn't have to buy groceries for 40 years, would that make you okay? If your shoes didn't wear out, if your clothes didn't wear out for 40 years, if God fed you every day with the bread from heaven, would it be okay? I'm telling you, we complain. We complain that it's too hot, that it's too cold. We complain that it's not windy enough, that it's too windy. We complain that it's too quiet, that it's too loud. Listen, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. And so whenever you are dealing with something, if it is subjective, you need to say, let's bring this out of the abstract world. Let's bring it out of the subjective. Let's bring it into the objective where we can measure it, where we can see where it comes to pass, because it might not be a problem with another person. It might be a problem with me. There's a story that goes around on Facebook about a lady who looked out her window and saw her neighbor hanging up the clothes and said, what a horrible job of washing her clothes did, that her clothes were so dingy. And this went on for day after day after day after day. And finally, one morning she got up and said, oh, would you look at that? Somebody must have gone over and spoken to that lady because her laundry looks sparkling white today. And the husband said, no, actually, all I did was clean our windows. See, God has perspective that we don't have. We need God to give us his lens. We need to give him to give us his perspective. We need him to change our heart so that we have the proper attitude towards authority. You got your father and mother alive? Honor them. You got a boss? Honor them. You come across a military person or a police officer or a firefighter? Honor them. Let them know that you thank them for their service. Don't use your mouth for cursing. Use it for blessing. Don't be lying. Speak the truth. Don't be a person who gossips, but take it to the Lord in prayer. And don't be a person of complaining. This is November. Let's use our mouths for Thanksgiving. I encourage you to be resolute today. Set it as a goal. God, you be Lord over my mouth. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.